Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians. We are in the midst of a series in the book of Philippians, and this morning we are on Philippians chapter 2, the first four verses. But for our scripture reading this morning, I'm going to read a little bit more than that. I'm going to read Philippians 1, verse 27, through chapter 2, verse 11. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Philippians. In 1977, when the first Star Wars movie came out, I was still too young to go to movies, and believe it or not, they did not have videos back then. And so the first Star Wars movie that I was able to see was the second version, or the second movie, entitled The Empire Strikes Back. And I remember as I watched the second movie there in the theater, I kept saying to myself, something is missing here. It was like I had picked up a book and started reading it in the middle. I needed to know the foundation of what had happened in the previous movie. I needed to know the characters so that I could know and understand what was going on in the second movie. And then as the second movie ended, I was left wondering what the final story would be. For as I watched the movie, it came to an end, but yet it still had not ended. Well, as you look at your outline this morning in your bulletin, you will notice that Philippians 1, verse 27 through 2, verse 11 is really divided up into three parts. Last week, I preached to you part 1. In chapter 1, verses 27 through 29, the apostle lays out his first and most important, or his first and foundation for what he has further to say. In part 2, which is this morning's sermon, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4, and next week we'll be looking at part 3, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. We have a three-part sermon in this particular text. And I realize this morning, after I finish, I may be leaving you hanging just a little. But that will give you further incentive to return next week and hear the final conclusion to what the apostle has said to the Philippians and to us. In last week's sermon, We talked about how in chapter 1, the apostle has laid the foundation for what he is about to say at the end of chapter 1 and in chapter 2. After his salutation and thanksgiving that he gives in the first part of the chapter, in verses 12 through 26, the apostle gives to the Philippians his missionary report. And in his missionary report, the apostle reports to them how God has used him in the preaching of the gospel to stand up against opposition outside the church and to deal with divisions and disunity within the church. And the apostle writes about how God has used those circumstances for his glory and for the furtherance of his kingdom. And now in verse 27 of chapter 1, the apostle begins to speak directly to the people in Philippi, his church. And as he writes to them, we quickly learn that the things that Paul has dealt with in his life in chapter 1 are the very same things and the very same issues that the people in Philippi are dealing with in their lives. In part 1, we looked at how there is opposition to the gospel in Philippi, and we compared how Paul is responding to it to how the Philippians are to respond. And now in part 2, we are recognizing that not only is there opposition to the gospel in Philippi, as Paul experienced in Rome, but there is also disunity within the body, as Paul experienced in Rome. In looking at your outlines, notice that the theme of this entire section is set down in verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The apostle is exhorting the people that they need to live their lives in Christ as Christ has saved them. As they belong to Christ, as they know Christ Jesus, they are to live their lives worthy of that gospel, worthy of the testimony, worthy of a people that has Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And as he writes to them, as they face the opposition, as we saw in part 1, they are to continue to live for Christ. You see, when Christ Jesus came to this earth, he faced opposition. So as they live out Christ in their lives here on this earth, they will face opposition. And they must continue, as he concludes in verse 27, to stand firm. See that at the end of the verse? I know that you will stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. They, as God's people, as Christ's children, are to stand firm for the gospel, stand firm in the faith, no matter the opposition that may come upon them. But now as we move into part 2, we notice that the apostle is now focusing his attention upon difficulties that he has heard taking place within the body. Notice verse 3 of chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. The apostle has written of a similar experience in chapter 1. In verse 15 through 18, we read that within the church in Rome, there was envy and rivalry with Paul and his ministry. Within the church in Rome, there were those with selfish ambition, those who at the end of verse 18 are preaching Christ out of false motives, not true. They use the gospel for their own glory, for their own position, for their own desires, and what they desire to accomplish. They serve God for their own praise, for their own uplifting, not for the Savior. Now, as Paul is writing to the Philippians in chapter 2, he uses the same language that he has used in chapter 1. He writes for them not to do things out of selfish ambition. He writes that they are to consider others better than themselves. He writes that they are not to look to their own interests, but to seek out the interests of others. The apostle has recognized that what has taken place in Rome is also taking place in Philippi. And they, as God's people, need to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, how are they to accomplish that? Well, if you notice as he writes at the beginning of chapter 2, he writes in a particular way which is not always recognized by a lot of preachers and a lot of teachers. And I pause here for a moment to make an interpretation point of the way that some people approach this particular passage and when they see these particular difficulties in their church. You see, there are some people who, when they recognize selfish ambition, when they recognize people with no humility and people seeking out their own interests in their church, they will read a particular passage like this and approach it from an ethical perspective. They will tell their people that they need to do these things so that they can know and live out Christ. You see, the apostle is not approaching the Philippians as non-Christians. He doesn't approach it in a particular way that they would think that they have to not do these things so that they can be saved. But notice how the apostle has written this in verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. The apostle has included four if anys in this verse. And as he writes these if anys, he is reminding them of who they are in Christ Jesus. You see, he isn't approaching it by saying, these people are not living this way, so perhaps they aren't Christians and they need to be told to do this so that they will be Christians. The apostle has approached it by reminding them that they are to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. And if they belong to Christ as his people, they are to find, verse 1, encouragement from being united with Christ. Any encouragement that is apart from Christ is not true encouragement. Encouragement alone comes from Jesus Christ and from being united with Jesus Christ. This is how the apostle himself finds encouragement. If there's any comfort, it is from his love. Any comfort that the apostle experiences or that the people are to experience is from the love of the apostle. It comes from Jesus Christ through the apostle to the people. They experience comfort without Christ, but it is not long-lasting comfort. Comfort alone, eternal comfort, is in Jesus Christ. If any fellowship with the Spirit, he writes, where does it come from? Jesus Christ. You can have fellowship apart from Jesus Christ. But if you want true fellowship, fellowship that is eternal, you alone will find that in Jesus Christ. If any tenderness and compassion, it comes through Jesus Christ. You see, the apostle is reminding the people who they are in Jesus Christ. As they know Jesus Christ, this is the character that they must demonstrate. This is the character of someone walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. Verse 27. And so he writes in verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. You see, the apostle is joyful. He was joyful in his knowledge that he belongs to Jesus. He wrote in chapter 1 that every time he prays, verse 4, for the Philippians, he prays with joy. He is joyful when he thinks about the church in Philippi. But his joy is still not complete. In verse 2 again he writes, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. The saints in Philippi are to have the same mind as Christ. They are to have the same mind as Paul as he lives his life for Christ. And when they have that same mind, his joy will be complete. Why is his joy not complete? Well, look what he writes at the end of verse 2. Having the same love, being one in spirit and one in purpose. You see, the church in Philippi is not of the same love. They are full of selfish ambition. There are people there who regard themselves better than others and look out for their own interests and not the interests of others. For them to know the same love, they need to have the same love for one another that they have for Christ. Paul loves Christ. Paul loves the church. The church members do not love each other. And as those who are to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ, they must have the same love for one another that they have for Jesus Christ. He writes, being one in spirit. As we have described the apostle's relationship with his Lord, as he writes it in chapter 1, clearly the apostle is one in spirit with his Savior. He is so close with his Savior that whether he lives or whether he dies, it does not matter because he belongs to Jesus Christ. The apostle is one in spirit with Christ, and he desires to be one in spirit with the congregation. But the congregation is not one in spirit with one another. He writes that they are to be one in purpose. As the apostle has written his description of his missionary work and what he has done and how the Lord has used him in the church in Rome, he is clearly one in purpose with his Savior, for he suffers and experiences the same things as his Savior. The apostle is one in spirit with Christ. He desires to be one in spirit with the church in Philippi. But the church is not one in purpose with one another. You see, as the apostle is writing these words, he is describing for them how they as a church must deal with one another. How they as God's people must walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. And when there is selfish ambition, people who consider themselves better than one another, people looking out for their own interests and not the interests of others, the church is not joyful. The church is not of the same love, of the same spirit, and of the same purpose. As a pastor who's been here now some 6 years, after a while you are able to recognize and see when people are filled with selfish ambition, when they're not humble, when they look out for their own interests and not the interests of others. And it's very difficult, as Paul writes here, to find the joy in the congregation when these various things are going on in their lives. And so the question to think about this morning for you is, how are you doing? The apostle desires a church that is like-minded with him, like-minded with Christ, of the same love, one in spirit and purpose. How are you doing? Do you love one another as you love Christ? Do you love fellow church members, your spouse, your siblings, as you love Christ Jesus? Are you one in spirit as church members with your spouse, with your siblings, with those around you who serve Christ together? Are you one in spirit as God desires you to be? What about one in purpose? Are you one in purpose with one another and with Christ? As Paul writes these words to the Philippians, he is very concerned about the body. For as they have to stand up to the opposition from the culture, they need to be united as one, as a body. And if within the midst of the body there is selfish ambition, people think of themselves better than each other, and they look out for their own interests and not for the interests of others, the church will have severe, severe difficulties. And so as Paul writes these words, it is a call for us to imitate Christ, to imitate his worthiness of the gospel. And as Paul moves on to next week's sermon, he writes of Christ and his attitude as he lived upon this earth. And the apostle is not writing these words so that we look at Christ as an example of how we must live as an example. But the apostle is writing these words because the Lord Jesus has gone before us and lived out these very things so that we as a church and as a congregation and as husbands and wives and as children in Christ may live out these things through his power and through his glory. I'm leaving you this morning without the grand finale, but I will read the words of verses 5 through 11 one more time before we close. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live out your identity with Christ. For he has gone before you. He has humbled himself. He has lived this life for you, so that you, through his strength, may be of the same mind, of the same love, of the same spirit, and of the same purpose. Amen. Father in heaven, as we read these words of the apostle, we see, Lord, the damage that seeking out our own interests not humbling ourselves, living lives out of selfish ambition, how much damage that can cause to your church and to your people. And we pray, O God, that you would help us to have the mind of Christ, that you would help us and enable us through your power to humble ourselves, to look for the interests of others. Lord, not to seek for our own glory, but Lord, so that others may live for you. Help us as a congregation to love one another as we love Christ. Help us as a congregation to be one in spirit and one in purpose, that as we serve Christ here upon this earth, we may so closely identify with him that there will be no question about where we should go or what we should do or how we should live. We cannot do these things, Father, in our own strength, but through the power of our Savior and his death and resurrection, who has humbled himself for us, give us the strength to live faithfully for him, worthily for him, each and every day. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.